Our text for this morning's lesson is found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through verse 27. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. You can read along with me from the charts, or you can read along with me from your Bible. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, the writer of Hebrews records, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." In the early years of one's life, a young man or a young woman has their decisions and the choices made most of the time by their parents. The young man or young woman has no decisions or choices to make hardly on their own, because their parents seek to make those choices and decisions that are best for their life, both physically and spiritually if they're godly parents. We're told in Proverbs 22 and in verse 6 to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. In Ephesians 6 and in verse 4, fathers are told not to provoke their children to wrath, but to bring them up in the training or discipline and admonition of the Lord. However, there comes a time in each one's life when that young man or young woman has to make their own decisions and their own choices in life. And that's what Moses did when he became of age. When one becomes of age, he becomes to stand, you might say, at a constant crossroads in his life, where there's decisions and choices that have to be made. As outlined for us in Matthew 7 in verse 13, when Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." When one comes to the crossroads of life, and it happens every day in one's life, in one way or another, he comes to the crossroads of life and there is great difficulty sometimes. There's great challenge ahead of him to determine whether he should take this way or that way, whether I should do this or whether I should do that. If he takes this way, that way might lead to destruction. If he goes the other way, it might lead to eternal life. If he continues to make the right choice and the right decision in his life, I believe we can learn from the decisions that Moses made in the text that we read, Hebrews 11, verse 24 through 27. And I want us to look at those decisions and choices that Moses made this morning in regard to the things that he refused in life, because there were some choices and decisions that he made that caused him to refuse some things in life. But there are other choices and decisions that he made in life that caused him to accept some things in life. So thus he refused some things in life, and he accepted some things in life. That is, he stood at a crossroads on a daily basis, making decisions and choices that would either lead to life or lead to destruction. He refused some things, he accepted some things. And then in the end, we also want to note, what was the power or the motivating influence that brought about his decisions and his choices that he made? Let's begin by noticing the decisions and choices that Moses made that caused him to refuse some things in life. First of all, he refused earthly possessions. He refused earthly possessions. It says in verse 26 of Hebrews 11, the treasures of Egypt. Note that, the treasures of Egypt. Can you imagine the great wealth that existed in that land during that time? If you could imagine, and you know now of the great wealth that exists in the land in which you live, Think of the wealth that existed in that land during that time. The greatest nation that then existed on earth at that time was filled with all kind of treasure. You could imagine the storehouses of treasure that Pharaoh himself had stored up. But he refused the earthly possessions. He refused the earthly possessions. And things he realized and recognized, there were some things that were perhaps of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. The same thing that we need to consider as well. Matthew 6 and in verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, or where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." In Matthew 16 and in verse 26, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" You could gain all the treasures of Egypt, Moses, but you could lose your soul. So there were some things that he refused in life. He refused the treasures of Egypt, lest he lose, no doubt, his own soul. Evidently, he recognized and realized something in his own life that we, perhaps, wouldn't know about till we read the pages of the New Testament. Moses not only refused earthly possessions, but he also refused earthly power as well. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The grandson of Pharaoh, imagine that. Simply to be identified as the grandson of Pharaoh perhaps would have made him, we do not know, perhaps would have made him an heir to the king's throne. But he refused that earthly power. Just think of the power that he would be able to wield, being a king or being someone in the court of a king in a land as powerful as Egypt during that time. But he refused such earthly power. The desire for power is one of the strongest drives for man, and I think we see it in our own day and time, especially during this time of this coronavirus going around. That those who are in authority and power over us in governmental positions have overextended their power and authority over us in many ways. They've grasped for more and more power. If it was left up to some, you wouldn't even be able to be allowed to go out of your house. That's the kind of power they desire. To be able to direct man in every way that they can. Moses not only refused earthly power, but he also refused earthly honor as well. Earthly honor. He refused earthly fame, celebrity, notoriety that would come from being known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There would be no applause in rejecting that and refusing it. There would be no acclaim, no accolades given to him if he refused such a thing. Fame and honor and notoriety and celebrity among men would be gone. He would just be a common man among the common people. But he refused it. He turned his back on it. He also refused the pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11 and verse 25. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, the temporary pleasures of sin. Sin is pleasurable. If it wasn't, no one would have a desire, or longing, or craving to engage in it. But it is deceptive. It's brief, it's temporary, and it never really satisfies the basic needs of man. It's here for a moment and then gone. But Moses refused it. So we see that Moses refused earthly possessions. He refused earthly power. He refused earthly honor and fame and the accolades that come along with it, and he refused the temporary pleasures of sin. But there were some things that he chose. There were some decisions and choices that he made that caused him to accept some things in life, though they were not pleasant. He chose a life of sacrifice. I want you to think about this. He chose a life of sacrifice. He gave up all the treasures in Egypt. Talk about sacrifice. Do you know anyone who would give up all of their wealth for the cause of Christ? All of their wealth for God? But yet he sacrificed all the wealth of Egypt that could be his. He gave it up. He chose a life of sacrifice in that. Not only did he give up the treasures of Egypt, and that was indeed a great sacrifice, but we see that he also gave up the honor and fame and the celebrity and the notoriety of being called Pharaoh's daughter. There's not a whole lot of people that would give that up today, because there's a whole lot of people living their lives hoping that they'll become a celebrity, hoping that they'll be honored in the eyes of men, hoping that they will become someone powerful, hoping that they will have fame and great reputation among the people as someone who is great. That was a sacrifice. To be esteemed among the rich of the world, to be esteemed among those of great honor and stature, those of high government position, that was indeed sacrifice. Just to become a common man among common people, that was sacrifice. But he also chose a life of sacrifice in that he sacrificed the pleasures of sin. He gave up those pleasures associated with sin. Some people in our own day and time are not even willing to make that sacrifice. Even though those pleasures of sin are temporary, they're brief, they do not even meet the basic needs of man, men are not willing primarily to sacrifice those pleasures of sin. We ought to be willing to surrender them, to give them up. We ought to be willing to live a life of sacrifice as Moses was. Just think about it. What kind of sacrifice does our religion require of us today? Does it require the kind of sacrifice that Moses made? When you give of your wealth, is it a sacrifice? When you give up honor and fame and celebrity and notoriety, is it a sacrifice to you just to be identified as the people of God? Are you willing to give up the temporary pleasures of sin? Are you willing even to make that sacrifice? What does your religion cost you today in sacrifice? There was an article in last week's bulletin about the cost of one's religion. There's a lot of people today who are not sacrificing at all to engage in even worship to God out of fear, an overabundance of fear perhaps, or because of many other reasons. Their religion simply is that which they're not willing to make a sacrifice for. But in saying that, we would have to say if they're not willing to make a sacrifice for their religion, we have to say that they're not willing to make a sacrifice for their eternal salvation. But Moses was. He chose a life of sacrifice. But not only did he choose a life of sacrifice, but we saw that he chose a life of suffering as well. A life of suffering. He didn't have to choose. He didn't have to make the decision to choose a life of suffering. He could have chosen a life of pleasure instead, remember? He could have chosen a life of ease. He could have chosen a life of honor. He could have chosen a life of fame. But he chose rather to suffer affliction, note this, with the people of God. A life of suffering. One desires to live godly in Christ Jesus. He's going to suffer because of it. That is a choice that one makes. It's a decision that one makes. It's a way at the crossroads of life that one takes. A way of suffering. A way of affliction. A way of tribulation and trial. Simply because they identify themselves as the people of God. Moses chose a life of suffering. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He esteemed, that is, he considered the reproaches that were going to come upon Christ. How did Moses know about Christ? He knew about Christ because God had made a promise to Abraham. In thy seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed. Moses was among that seed. But Moses recognized and realized that the ultimate seed was Jesus Christ. Moses was a descendant of Abraham. And all the children in Egypt that time were descendants of Abraham. A promise that God had made to Abraham and was keeping to Abraham. To make of the people of Abraham a great nation. A people of God. Moses indeed knew about the Christ who would come as the seed of Abraham. And he esteemed, he considered the reproaches, the reviling, the abuse, the defaming of Jesus Christ that would take place in the future. He considered that as coming upon him, the same kind of abuse that Christ would receive. So the abuse that Christ would receive is the abuse and the suffering and the trial that Moses would receive. And as children of God, every child of God, if he lives a godly life in Christ Jesus, will suffer the reproach of Christ. He might not come to the point of physical death in his suffering, but he ought to be willing to. And that's what Moses was willing to do. He chose a life of suffering when he could have had a life of ease. No affliction, no suffering, no tribulation in his life. Just a life filled with joy and pleasure. A life filled with happiness. No suffering. Today, men choose a life of happiness, but they seem to never find it. Because they're always miserable when you speak to them. There's no joy in their life. It is simply a life filled with misery. It is simply a life filled with no joy. It's the absence of any kind of happiness at all in their life. It is bickering and complaining about this and about that. They haven't chosen that. They've chosen a life of happiness, but what they get instead is a life that is empty. If you choose a life of suffering, there will be happiness. There will be joy. It might not be immediate, but you have to wait for it. Not only did he choose a life of sacrifice and a life of suffering, but he also chose a life of service as well. He chose a life of service. He forsook Egypt. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. And he passed through the Red Sea with the children of Israel behind him, leading them out of a land of captivity to a land of freedom. He served God, and he served the people of Israel, bringing them out of Egyptian bondage, which is like you serving God today and teaching someone the gospel and bringing them out of bondage to sin. Yes, he chose a life of service, a life service rendered to God, that is. Well, what was it? What was the power or the motivating influence behind the choices and the decisions that Moses made? We know what it was. It was faith. He was guided by faith. He was directed by God's Word in his life. Hebrews 11 and verse 24, by faith Moses when he became of age. Hebrews 11 and verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith. Faith was that which motivated him. Faith was that which spurred him on. Faith was that which encouraged and motivated and moved him to action. Faith was that which caused him to make the decisions and the choices in his life that he chose. Now I want you to think about this. He chose a life of sacrifice. He chose that life of sacrifice because faith moved him to make that choice. Faith didn't move him to make a choice of not sacrificing. Faith moved him to make a choice or decision to suffer with the people of God. Faith moved or motivated him to serve God. So faith moved or motivated him to sacrifice, to suffer, and to serve. That was the motivating influence that guided his life. How did it come? By hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Moses simply followed the will of God in his life. That's what he did. And following the will of God in his life caused him to make the decisions and the choices that he made. And one would say, well, it's the will of God that I sacrifice? Indeed it is. It's the will of God that I suffer for the cause of Christ? Indeed it is. It's the will of God that I serve Him? Indeed it is. Had you rather suffer for some cause that was not worth it? Had you rather sacrifice for some cause that was not worth it? Had you rather serve for some cause that is not worth it and does not bring about eternal consequences? You see, the sacrificing, the suffering, and the serving brings about an eternal consequence. Eternal life. Moses was guided by faith indeed. But not only that, another thing that motivated him in regard to his faith was that he made the sacrifice and endured the suffering that he underwent as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11 and verse 27. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Seems to be a paradox, doesn't it? Seeing one who is invisible, how can you see one who is invisible? He could see God. He could see God with the eye of faith. God is invisible. We can't see Him. But through the eye of faith, we know that He exists. He endured what He endured. He suffered what He suffered. He sacrificed what He sacrificed because He could see God. He kept His eye on God and a determination to do His will in his life. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We can't see God, but we must believe that He is there. We have to keep our eye on God. In 1 Peter 1 and in verse 8, whom having not seen you love, Peter said to those to whom he's writing to. The whom, of course, refers to Jesus Christ in the immediate context. They had not seen Jesus Christ, but they loved Him. How can you love one whom you have never seen? It's easy, through the eye of faith. Though you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's the end. That's the culmination of one's faith, is the salvation of your soul. Yes, Moses kept his eye on God. He could see him who was invisible. That's why he endured the suffering. That's why he sacrificed the way he did. That's why he served the way he did. Seeing motivated him. Knowing that God exists motivated him. It spurred him on. It prodded him. Another thing in the text, and that was a motivating factor in the choices and the decisions that he made, was the fact that he looked to the reward. Hebrews 11 and verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. The idea is he looked and he kept on looking. That is, he kept his eye on the reward. Not only was he looking at that which was invisible, not only was he looking to God, but he was looking and he kept on looking at the reward. What is the reward? Eternal salvation. That's the reward that he was looking for. You know, rewards and punishments are prominent subjects in the Bible. In Matthew 25 and verse 46, Jesus said, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." When one makes the decisions and choices in his life, it leads to a certain destiny. If he makes the right choices and decisions in his life, it leads to eternal salvation. If he takes the broad way, it leads to destruction. It leads to eternal ruin. Well, did Moses make the right decisions? Did he make the right choices in life? When he came to the crossroads of life and there were decisions to be made, did he make the right choices? Did he make the right choice in sacrificing and suffering and serving God? Amen. Well, he became a great leader and an example to the righteous. Acts 3 and verse 22, "For Moses truly said to the fathers," and he quotes Deuteronomy 18, verse 18 and 19, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." Yes, Moses became a great leader and an example that's used often throughout the New Testament. He was honored on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 in verse 1 and following, when he appeared with Elijah and Jesus on that occasion. He received great honor indeed. And the greatness of Moses will be spoken about and remembered throughout the ages, because the redeemed will sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Did Moses make the right decisions? Indeed he did. His decisions emphasize the importance of real faith in making decisions. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Why are we making the decisions that we make today? What is motivating us? What is moving us? What is prodding us? What is spurring us on to make the decisions that we make? When we make a decision to enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin, is that a sacrifice? It's no sacrifice at all. It is a decision, a choice that leads to eternal destruction. Men today need to refuse the pleasures of sin, materialism, and the thirst of unholy power. "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name." We ought to be willing to suffer, to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Amen. We ought to be willing to sacrifice the flesh. In regard to the pleasures of sin, Galatians 2 and in verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. That is, I've been put to death with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by, this is literally, the faith of the Son of God. That is, I live by the gospel, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the gospel today. I believe the gospel. Though I cannot be firmly convinced and persuaded by sight of everything contained in the gospel, I keep my eye on the gold. I keep my eye on the reward, because I constantly crucify the flesh. Galatians 6 and in verse 14, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We should serve God and not ourselves. We should sacrifice for God and not for ourselves. Because when we sacrifice for God, serve Him with reverence and godly fear, we'll be looking to the eternal reward, a reward of eternal life in that day. In Joshua 24 and in verse 15, he told the people of his day, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the river or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you made that choice? Have you made that decision? Remember, the choices and the decisions you make in life will bring about your destiny in life. Destinies are simply the choices, are the result of the choices and decisions we make in life. Will your destiny be eternal life? If it will, you need to take the way which leads to life. You need to make that choice and that decision this hour, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Him before man, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Yes, you stand at the crossroads of life. You want to serve God? Then be obedient to His will and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you've made that choice in times past, remember, your destiny is an eternal home in heaven. But you have to remain faithful. If you have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin. And we'll pray with you and for you, if need be, as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.